I know many people who love me dearly, but do not know how to show it. I know many people who love me dearly, but who do not know how to show it. I imagine that's true for all of you. You know a lot of people who love you dearly, but don't know how to show it. If they get too affectionate, then you misunderstand their attitude. If they're not affectionate enough, you think that they don't care. And if people are just sort of blasé about you, you think, gee, I'm not, you know, important in their world. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful when you create people in your world who love you dearly but don't know how to show it. Now, why would anyone create people in their world that love them and don't know how to show it? Why would anyone do that? Well, we do that because we're ambivalent about ourselves. We are two-way thinking about ourselves. One moment we're thinking that we're great, and the next moment we're thinking that we're not so nice. One moment we think that we are just the greatest in the world, and the next moment we look in the mirror and we say, well, we're not very handsome, you know, we're not very beautiful. And we think, how could anyone, you know, be excited about us? Well, this goes for everybody. Everybody goes through experiences like that. And when you go through experiences like that, what's happening to you? Well, you haven't passed the test. You haven't passed the test of being unconditionally loving about yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can be very loving about other people and have neat experiences about other people, but can we have it about ourselves? Can we be unconditionally loving about ourselves? Now, yesterday and the day before, I was throwing all sorts of brickbats. And some of you took them personally, and some of you didn't, and some of you cared, and some of you didn't. Now, what were the brickbats? Well, the brickbats were that I was saying that some people have a death wish, remember? And that some people do things for the death wish, and some people really are thinking that they're very courageous, and they're very sporty, and they're very interested, but they do it for a death wish. What's your first thought when you hear that? Is your first thought, he's talking about me? Is that what your first thought is? Or is your first thought, oh, he's talking about somebody else? Or is your first thought that somebody has a death wish? Now, who has the death wish? Whoever it is who is thinking that they have a death wish. Mm-hmm. Now, I have the responsibility of bringing up topics and bringing up all these things for you to think about. And whether I believe them or not is inconsequential. What is consequential is, what is your attitude about it? Now, if I say to you, man, you look terrible. You look so terrible. You know, you ought to go to bed. You know, you look so sick. You look like you're the wreck of the Hesperus, you know, sort of hell warmed over. And what's going on in your world? Why are you feeling that way? You really, you know, your eyes are bloodshot, and your ears, they're all red, you know, and things like that. And you say to yourself, do I look like that, you know? And what should your first thought be?
I'm whole and perfect.
Your first thought should be, I feel just fine. I'm whole and perfect. I feel just fine. Now, if the person persists in reading you like that, then what do? Do you get upset with them? Do you get argumentative? Do you think, well, maybe there's something there? If you ever get to the point of saying, maybe there's something there, you're dead. They got you. You're in their clutches, in their attitude. And really, what are they doing? Anyone know right off quickly? You're their reflection. You're their reflection. They may not look bad outwardly, but it's what's in their heart. You're their reflection. So if anyone says that you're stupid, or you're wise, or you're fat, or you're thin, or you're whatever, you're their reflection. I talked with a lady who is fat, and she says, oh, you don't want to get thin. You want to be just like you are. You're a very nice person, just the way you are. Now, why did she say that? because she didn't want to get thin. She didn't want to do anything about it. She's perfectly content. She says, don't go on your diet. Don't do this. Don't do that, you know. Now, is it because diets are bad? Well, I personally like my lemonade diet every now and then because I just feel real good when I do it. I feel spiritually alive and vitally dynamic and all that stuff. Yes, I do. And always watch when people make comments about you. Why did you create them making the comment? And then what does the comment mean? You create them making the comment because you may just feel a little insecure. You may just feel a little unsure of yourself. And then you create them making the comment because you want to endorse it. And that's not a good thing to do. That's not a good thing to approve or endorse of something that you don't really want to have in your life. So if somebody comes up to you and says, golly, you're beautiful. Wow, you're wonderful. You're so thoughtful. Be careful. Because they're just conning you. If you are beautiful and you are wonderful, no words can ever describe it, can they? If you are beautiful and you're wonderful, people come up to you and they respond to you as a beautiful person and a wonderful person. They don't respond to you as a sick person or as a person that's not nice. But the minute they start telling you how wonderful you are, you can expect the next step is going to be they want something. You say, well, that's not very nice. I like hearing people say that I'm nice and I'm beautiful. Oh, you need it, huh? You need that. Well, if you need it, then go for it. But people who love you dearly, they don't ever have to open their mouth. They don't ever have to say one single word or do one single act. There is a radiance. There is a oneness between you and them. You just feel good around them. Edith Mary and I used to drive long distances together occasionally. And, you know, we'd run out of things to talk about, or we didn't necessarily have to talk because we were together. And we'd sit quietly in our own thoughts, thinking our own world and so forth. And then Edith Mary spoke up one day and she says, you know, we have a very special friendship. We have a friendship where we can sit for hours together and not say a word, and yet be in perfect communication. Each doing his own thing, each thinking his own thought, and not thinking, now if I don't talk, he's going to think that I'm not interested in this stuff. You know, no worry about it whatsoever. And you see, that's a very rich relationship to have. And sometimes it's a very wonderful relationship to have. The quieter you are with each other, the better. Because you want to live your own life. You want to think your own thoughts. You want to live in your own experience. And to live in your own experience, what do? You're in peace. And you don't have to talk. But if two people are together and they're madly in love, all they do is just hold hands and they just sort of snuggle in each other's shoulders and they feel wonderful. When they feel they have to keep up a pattern of talking, then one or the other or both is very insecure, and the relationship is not very secure. A relationship that is made up of people who just feel right with each other, that's a good one. So I have many people who love me dearly but don't know how to show it, because they think they have to show it outwardly, and they don't. Now, we visited many people, and everybody wanted to give us a gift of something or other, big, little, it didn't matter what it was, but they wanted to give us a gift. Now, why did they want to give us a gift? It was just their way of saying, I love you. And that's rather nice. Now, the gifts didn't have notes on them. And in fact, the gifts that we received, we don't know who they came from, because somebody gives it to us, and we say, thank you. And then we set it aside and later look at it and say, who was it who gave that to us, you know? But when a gift is given with great love and great appreciation, you never forget who gave it. It's just like the shirt that Vibert gave me. He says, what size shirt do you wear? You know, I said, well, look here at my shirt. He looked at my shirt, you know, and it said large. And so he bought this shirt, and for some reason or other, he felt I needed the shirt, or that he wanted to, that a shirt was something like sharing man to man or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he got that shirt and gave it to me, and there's so much love in it. I could never forget. I might never have to see the shirt again in my life, but I would never forget that he gave that with his caringness. And he didn't say anything. He just said, here. I said, thank you. You're welcome. You know, big deal. You know. But the act of love was so great and so beautiful that it did not need words. And how do you show it? How do you show it? You might say, Ellen, go talk to that guy. He can help you. Now, that's an act of love that's really outstanding, really great trust. So, if you're one of those people who don't know how to show me your love, don't worry about it. I got the message. And I love you all very much.